what we want to create has already been created. If we want to be a millionaire, there are tons of millionaires that have imprinted their consciousness into the collective mind. We can tap into that and start asking for that information to come to us. The genie show, oh.
Hello, my friends. Hope you're all staying safe and healthy during this time. You see, the thing about fear, tragedy, or loss, especially at such a global scale that we're experiencing right now, is that we find ourselves amidst the chaos, the changes and restrictions, going through something together. You know, it's very rare that someone in Canada, Australia, Europe, and India are thinking about the exact same thing, going through the same fears and experiencing the same news day to day. In this time of fear and uncertainty, even though it's extremely overwhelming, it's one of the very few times that as a planet, we collectively sit and hope for a better tomorrow. We pray for a cure and we hold space for those who are suffering. And we do that together. This week's episode, I'm joined by three-time best-selling author Jennifer Longmore. This conversation was pretty special and I believe to be very timely for what's happening right now. We talk about transformation and the tools around awareness that can get us there. I love hearing about her self-care practice and the fact that she is so clear on her purpose, which is a soul purpose. Please welcome Jennifer Longmore to The Genie Show. Jennifer Longmore, welcome to the Genie Show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. We're going to have a good time together.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I was reading your bio and I got really excited because, you know, I'm a big believer in self-development and self-improvement and also self-care, which is something that I've been exploring deeply over the past 6 to 12 months. And I love trying things that really challenge me, and especially my spiritual and personal growth. I love trying things and, you know, seeking things that really help me learn and understand myself more so I can, you know, improve as a human being and how I serve others and show up in people's lives. One thing I was reading about you, other than the fact that you are a three-time best-selling author, is that you truly believe Akashic Records are the only transformational tool that you'll ever need. Now, I don't know much about Akashic Records. Can you start with like a really novice explanation on what an Akashic Record is? I've got some questions for you.
Absolutely. And that's a pretty bold statement on my part, right? But I feel like in life, we have to kind of take a stand for certain things, because if we don't really stand for anything or we're kind of just wishy-washy about stuff, it's hard for people to, you know, buy into it. The reason why I say it's the best tool is because it's all in one. It helps you get clear on your purpose, which every single one of us wants to know. Does my life have meaning? Do I matter? Why am I here? What am I here to cultivate and contribute? And then it provides us guidance so we can make decisions from that place. It also provides healing so the guides can actually work on people. And I'll go into this more. And then it also is a great tool for manifestation, because we're in a plane of existence that's comparable to theta brainwaves. If you were to measure your brainwaves when you open your Akashic Records, those are the same brainwaves that are the theta state, which is where we program our subconscious to either hold the thoughts we don't want to have or the thoughts that we do want to have. So it's a really powerful tool. I work at the speed of light. I like things that are efficient. I used to do past life regression and life between life regressions, but those take like 5-6 hours sometimes, or sometimes people have to come for hypnosis for 5 to 10 sessions, depending on the issue. This really resolves things and permanently. So the Akashic Records, people that have had any kind of religious exposure get a little bit nervous about this because they think that it's something that isn't already discussed. But in fact, most religious texts refer to the Akashic Records. They might just use different language. They might call it the Book of Life or the Book of Akasha or the Book of Records, something like that. And it's really just an energetic document that holds all of our thoughts and actions from any space and time we've existed, including now. And it shows us what we've mastered. It shows us what we came here to master, why we chose the location we were born in, why we chose the parents we chose for our lifetime. Like all of the things that help us master the things that we came to master and how to best contribute. So to give you an example, I love my mom to death, and she was a young mom and she had no boundaries. And 2 and 3 years old, she's telling me all of her deepest worries and marital issues. And she was just lonely, and I was her only person. The gift in that is that it was my purpose to do what I'm doing now. I have to know how to hold sacred space for people. I have to know how to listen. She was great training ground. Would I have liked to have received it in another way? Sure, my ego would have, but I actually received the best training possible from the person who is the best person to condition the skill in me to allow me to serve so many people that I do now.
Wow. Okay, so you just kind of, all these light bulbs were going off in my head when you were talking. So the spiritual training that I've had, Jennifer, there was a lot of discovery and a lot of study in, obviously, you know, you have a soul which incarnates many lifetimes as different persons and different individuals, sometimes as humans, animals, whatever the living creature that the soul incarnates as. So in terms of an incarnation of a soul, so at the moment, my soul is in the body of Ginny, or the egoic personality of Ginny Sarasvati. And obviously there are things before I incarnated, before I got that cell of Ginny was planted in my mum's womb, and, you know, I grew 9 months inside her womb. There's obviously certain things that, you know, my soul agreed to before I came on earth, like who my parents were going to be, where I would be born, exactly what you said. So are you saying the Akashic Records, it's essentially, it's a document that talks about all these things. It's like all the spiritual things like past life regression, healings, Reiki, all in one. Is that essentially what it is?
Pretty much. So each of us have a soul. So let's operate under certain hypotheses. So each of us has a soul. Our soul has existed through time and space. Like you suggested, it will come up in the records, whether someone has been human in other lifetimes, whether they've been some other form of energy, I guess you could say. And so this aspect of us that's living in the here and now is but one aspect of our oversoul, and our oversoul needs to evolve. And so it splits and sends out several different aspects of itself to different realities. And those realities, so this reality we're in now, we're here to gather experiences, wisdom, contribution to evolve the oversoul. The oversoul then contributes that information back to the universe. That universe spreads out that information and says, hey, everyone, guess what Ginny learned and all of Ginny's aspects learned? Isn't this great? Now we can all benefit from the evolution that's happened because Ginny did her work, right? That's basically for me, right? So some people see it as an actual document. Some people see it as an actual library of records. Other people just feel it as energy, or they hear information, but it stores all of our information objectively. So when we come into this lifetime, if we're constantly poor because we're hoarding money, because we're always afraid of people stealing from us, and there's no evidence of that in this lifetime, we have no reason to believe that we need to hoard our money and be worried about people taking it from us. If we went into the records, we might find information like, you know, we had a cattle farm back in some other lifetime and some guy kept stealing our cows, which was our livelihood. And so on a cellular level, we've decided people are always going to wrong us and take from us. So I don't want to put myself out into the world because of that. So that awareness and that shifting can heal stuff, because we can't heal what we're not aware of. And of course, we're not going to be aware of that because it's not part of this reality. But then on top of that, we can also have an actual energy clearing by the guides in the records, because the records are overseen by what's called record keepers, which are really ascended masters and beings that, again, only have our purest intent in mind. They only want good things for us. They want to partner with us to create our best life possible. They might provide a prescription, so to speak, about how to keep moving that forward in real time in a body. But especially for the things that just stump us, you know, why do I not have money flowing? Why do I have these perpetual issues? Why do I have such a fear of spiders? Why? The questions that are not answering themselves, those are perfect questions to bring to the records, because that information is already stored and your guides go in and say, oh yeah, well, back in 1822, I'm just making this up, right?
Yeah.
You got stung by a tarantula and you died. So of course you have a fear of spiders, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. You know, there's so many things that you brought up then. And as I was saying before about, you know, light bulbs going off in my head, what I'm hearing is any kind of place that you get to in your life where you want to raise awareness around a particular thing that's been going on, it starts with that element of curiosity. You know, you're curious about something that, you know, is brought to your attention, like, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep attracting the same kind of romantic partner? Why do I keep attracting the same kind of business partner? Why do I keep attracting this or that? Or whatever it may be that you're questioned, I feel that that curiosity is a gateway to, you know, book a healing session, to get a tarot card reading, to get an Akashic record reading as well. So it's that curiosity that kind of, I guess, snowballs this need or this questioning of wanting to get to that place of awareness. I'm curious to know too, speaking of curiosity, Jennifer, like, obviously this is something that you really advocate as a transformational tool. But you're also an elite business coach. I'm wondering, when business-minded people who sometimes don't, who consider this stuff woo-woo, quote unquote, how do you kind of translate to them, hey, guys, you actually need this to cultivate that abundance and success that you want for your business? How do you kind of demystify that for them?
That's a great question. And what I would say is I don't, because I attract people that have already made the decision to operate from a conscious place. So there's actually way more woo people out there than we realize. And I learned that even when I was doing readings all the time. I had mafia coming to me for Akashic record readings. I had entertainers, if you know what I'm saying, massage people and dancers and stuff. People that were blackjack dealers. I had Disney executives. I had NBA basketball players. I had Young and the Restless actresses. I had a whole gamut of people. And to look at them, you'd think, oh, they look like they're probably not into this stuff. So many people believe in this kind of thing, but they don't necessarily have the circles to talk about that stuff. So I just learned a long time ago, and I'm sure you can relate, and I'm sure everyone listening can relate, like, it actually gets pretty exhausting to try and convince people. The cool thing about the records is I just say, okay, guys, I'm ready to onboard some new clients. I feel like I have capacity to take on some more clients. Feel free to send them a telepathic phone call. Let them know I'm available. And honestly, within like 24 hours, I have people knock on my door and say, hey, can we work together? Here's my budget. You know, how can I work together with you with this budget in mind? That being said, with business, Akashic records are so cool because business, just like our body, just like money, has its own consciousness. So to be able to read the consciousness of someone's business and then how it's meant to partner with someone's sole purpose is really powerful, because most of us create a business as a vehicle to let our purpose channel through, right? And reach other people, especially for those of us in service-based businesses. And so we tend to start a business because it is the best way for us to share our gifts. Doesn't mean we can't do that in a job. Most times though, the way that society is and the fact that most entrepreneurs are nonconformists, having a job and trying to do the work that we know we're called to do tend to not go together. I'm obviously not talking about nurses and doctors and teachers and folks that are in very noble professions and it's just a calling for them, right? Like one of my best friends, her daughter was called to be a nun. And people go, oh, why did she let her daughter be a nun? I'm like, well, first of all, not really her choice, but we don't get it because we're not called to be a nun. She's known since she was 8 years old that she was meant to be a nun. She's now, I think, 21 or 22 or something like that. And she's actually in monastery school in the States learning to be a nun. And so there's certain callings that don't require a business. But for most of us, if we really want to have freedom of expression and we really want to be in the energy of possibility instead of limitation, we tend to do that through our business. And because our business results are 1,000,000% tied into all of our stuff, right? We have no choice but to unpack it, because as soon as we shift ourselves, we get different results in business. And most people that are conscious entrepreneurs know that.
It's fascinating that you say that most people who are conscious entrepreneurs know that, because if I am to look at all the successful business people that I have studied with, or I work for in some capacity, or I've read about or have come across in some certain way, a part of their success, they have publicly or privately attributed to the fact that there is some acknowledgement of a higher source, whatever flavor that may be, whether it be through a religious practice or a spiritual practice or whatever agrees with them and their personality and their circumstance. It's really, really curious to see that, because when there is that acknowledgement of that source, it really kind of ties into the work that you do too, Jennifer, because one of the things that what this is all about, if we were to really put it into, you know, I guess a scientific terminology, there's limiting beliefs that everyone as a human has, right? Because being a soul in a body means that you're not perfect because you're human, you come with flaws, so that you will have limited beliefs or things to work on in said lifetime. So there's patterns that have either come from previous lifetimes or patterns that you will form in this lifetime that we need to work through. So it's really about pushing through those limiting beliefs to create that limitless abundance that, you know, we all want to access and we all want to kind of bathe in day in, day out. What do you think, other than fear, obviously, and elements of fear, what do you think is the key blockage for anyone to abundance? Big question, I know.
The main issue is that we've all been programmed to understand money as something other than what it actually is. So just like anything in life, when we're operating from a place of illusion, it's not because we're crazy. It's just because that has been programmed into us. And we come by it very honestly, religion and society and culture and parental programming. And I could go on and get really woo and talk about the kind of fear frequencies that are channeled through media. All kinds of things, right? Keep us in a place where we on a soul level, we know the truth. Once we hear the truth, we can feel it in our body like, oh, there is the truth. I feel it. But the illusion blocks us from having clarity. When we align with the divine truth of money and we really embody that, and we can do that through energy work, especially through the Akashic Records, then we're able to see things as they are. So even if our finances are in a complete wackadoodle situation, at least we can see it for what it is and we can work towards shifting that, right? But as long as we're in a lack of awareness or we're living in illusion, it's hard to see that. A lot of times too, past life stuff will interfere with our present reality. We have made vows of poverty. Most people have made vows of poverty in a previous life. If you believe that you're property of someone else and you don't have a right to own anything, including having money to then have ownership over certain things, whether it's cultural programming, societal, et cetera, or from other lifetimes, it's really hard to accumulate material goods when you don't even know that you have a right to do that. So there's a multitude of things, but every human being, regardless of what country you're in, what your financial situation is, we all want to be loved, accepted, and respected, and we all fear abandonment and rejection. So our spending habits either contribute to, I want more love, respect, and intimacy, right? Mm. And, or I want to avoid being abandoned and rejected. So if we look at the polarity of that, that gives us a lot of insight into how we relate to money, how we spend money, and especially how we spend money in relation to gaining approval, keeping people close to us, right? Yeah. Wanting to elevate our status. There's all kinds of very unconscious drivers that can actually create more stress for us because those core needs can never be met by money and anything really outside of us, right? We have to do that work internally, which is what the records help us do. It helps us just restore the truth of our soul. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I here to contribute? And it helps illuminate the nonsense and just clear it out.
That's fascinating. It's interesting because Oprah talks about how the more money you have, the more of the truth of who you are is magnified. So, you know, if you're a lovely person, you have more money to do more lovely things with. And if you're an asshole, you have more money to do asshole-like things with. So, you know, money really is that.
Are you referring to anyone in particular?
No, not in general. No. This is something that I'm just kind of paraphrasing from Oprah. But I'm not referring to anyone in particular. I don't think I have many assholes in my life, Jennifer, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more of like a certain president or something, because people will ask me that. Well, like if money's an extension of source and it's a pure thing, then how does someone like that, and I'm using him as an example, but really there's a lot of people, if you look at Jeffrey Epstein, and there's all kinds of like really shady, just corrupt beings. You're exactly right. Money magnifies what's already there. So it's so funny to me, like so many healers don't want to allow in more money, and they have such a pure heart and they really genuinely want to help people and they want to amass more wealth to help more people and to speed up their capacity to help more people and hire people to help them and, you know, so on and so on. And they're so afraid of ending up like, you know, one of these people we're referring to. And yet they can't, because it's just going to magnify the goodness that's already in them, right? It's just going to help them spread more of that light. So when we do our work, right, that, and we get out of our own way, then we naturally have more wealth because we're not tied into the stories that are not true. The Genie Show, oh, our lonely
days are gone. I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
The Genie Show. Yeah, and that's something that you actually talk about, right? Like when we get in the way of ourselves from creating that abundance, there's obviously blocks there. And you talk about the blocks and how we can quickly shift them. How do we do that? What is the secret sauce, Jennifer?
How much time do we have? 5 hours?
Well, it's okay. Curious because I know there's a lot of, it's not like you wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you have $1 million in your bank account. I know sometimes certain self-help courses and self-help teachings have kind of inferred that, it for want of a better word. And I know that it takes a lot of work to get from point A to point B. It's being in that action and doing the work that actually cultivates that. You don't magically get that money or that abundance in your life. So
I was a public servant. I either had just enough money to pay for everything or not quite enough money. And usually it was not quite enough money. And it's very stressful to never be able to pay off your bills, to pay them off in full, but it's already a defeating feeling to be like, oh my goodness, this was when I was in my mid-20s. Is this really what the rest of my life is going to look like? Living for the weekends, living just below the line or just above the line, and never having enough to absorb experiences without it coming at a cost, right? More credit card debt or more whatever.
Right.
So believe me when I say, having grown up in a very working class family, I started working when I was 10. I worked a gazillion jobs all through high school and all through university to put myself through there. I was a public servant for a long time. So my money story was very rooted in being a martyr. And I say that with love, right? Being in servitude. Oh, I can't. It's not right of me to have it. It's just, and a lot of healers have that. So the first thing we have to do is understand on a meta level that money is just an extension of source. If we're an extension of source, and money and many other things in this world are an extension of that creation energy, then we actually have more in common with money than we realize. We share the same bloodline, the same DNA, so to speak, right? So we actually have a greater understanding of it than what we do. Additionally, in the divine mind, in the collective consciousness, what we want to create has already been created. If we want to be a millionaire, there are tons of millionaires that have imprinted their consciousness into the collective mind. We can tap into that and start asking for that information to come to us. That's a really big tip there. Because people think, well, that sounds too easy. Yeah, of course.
Can you expand upon what exactly the collective mind is? I think I have an idea, but just for our listener as well, what is this collective mind?
Right. Well, right now we're seeing it, right, with mass hysteria. Right. We can program the collective consciousness to hold any vibration we want it to have. But there, you know, like Princess Diana, I'll just use her as an example because she's on my etheric board of directors. Right. I'm a pretty matter of fact person. Right. There's times where I need some more Princess Diana in my life. Right. So she's on my like etheric board of directors.
Right.
If I get really stumped on something, I'm like, what would Princess Diana do? But anyway, so her way of being, her essence is imprinted in this collective mind that we have, right? As human beings, we form a big mind. And so if I want to know how to be graceful in my business, she's already imprinted the way of being in the world, right? So I just need to tap into that. I know it sounds really simple, and it is, right? Because as a human, we tend to want to make things way more complicated than they need to be. If I want to be a billionaire, there's not as many billionaires, but there's way more billionaires than even 10 years ago. Let's just take Richard Branson, for example, right? If we really want to tap into how to do that, we can just start calling upon his essence. We're not pulling on him. We're not being vampires, but his thought clouds are already, you know, floating around in the universe.
Right.
Additionally, on a practical level, I would say like read books by people that you want to be like, and listen to podcasts, and be, even if you can't physically be around people, those five people that you most need to be around, right, that determine how you show up, you can still be a part of them through podcasts like yours, because you're such a ray of positivity, right? And wisdom and so on. If we're like, if anyone listening right now has got some friends that are energy vampires, or just they're not, you know, rising up, that listening to this kind of stuff, and I do it too, can really lift up our collective consciousness. Back to the billionaire stuff, Richard Branson's already created it. Oprah's already created it. I could throw out a bunch of names, but if we want a certain thing, it's already available to us. We just have to give ourselves permission to let it be easy instead of deciding it's hard, right? And that this all sounds crazy and woo, and invite it in. So the next thing is we have to decide that we're going to be an exemplary steward for money, because money does not come to people
right.
that are not exemplary stewards, right? So people always ask me about my business, because I've been in business now for 16 years full time. And they ask me things like, well, what do you do when people move on? Or what do you do yeah. when, you know, you have to set a boundary with people? It's like, I don't like to have to set boundaries with people. I actually prefer to deal with adults. But the reality is some people bring their stuff to the table. They bring their passive aggressiveness. They bring their codependency. They bring their enmeshment. And I have to set a boundary. And I'd rather not spend my energy doing that. And so some people don't like having a boundary. And then they have a little bit of a pout fest, right? I have to be a steward to my business first. I'm in a lifetime relationship with my business. I have to do what's in the best interest of my business. And since I'm the CEO, I also have to do what's in the best interest of me, so that I can be of service to the 99.9% of people in my community that really can show up and truly receive what I want to impart on them. So does it suck to have to do that and be a steward in that way? Yeah. I'd rather not, but I do it because my loyalty to my business is greater than my loyalty to someone that really was probably going to move along anyways, right? The same is true for money. If I keep saying I want more, but yes. I keep just throwing it around and, you know, whittling it away and not respecting it and not appreciating it and not being in gratitude for what it is allowing me to do, even if it's not a lot, then money can't show up, because we've already demonstrated through our actions. That's what the universe pays attention to, is our actions. So if our actions suggest we're not an exemplary steward, it can only show up to the degree that we're showing the level of stewardship that we have in that moment.
Here's a question for you, Jennifer, and what you're speaking about. I mean, I was writing down notes because I'm like, oh, there's all these little questions that I want to ask you. We might have to do a part two, because there's so much juice.
Okay.
The question, what you talked about the boundaries that you have to draw, you know, and drawing boundaries isn't fun. Like, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, because I'm practicing drawing boundaries myself, especially when it comes yeah. to codependency and, you know, energy vampires and that sort of thing. Drawing boundaries really does suck, because you feel like you're letting people down. And I find too that with entrepreneurs, particularly solopreneurs, those who operate businesses themselves, if they're the CEO of their company and they run pretty much the entire business, but also more specifically, female entrepreneurs, I'm finding, are constantly finding this challenge of, I really need to draw boundaries, because, you know, the way that they've grown up generationally or circumstantially or whatnot, they are the go-to person either for their community, their family, their friendship circle. People are used to and have habits of relying on them. So constantly being asked for questions and being your energy being pulled away is a common, you know, experience for them. So I'm wondering too, like you were saying that, you know, it's important to be a steward to your business, but is it as equally important, would you agree, Jennifer, to be a steward to yourself and your self-care?
Absolutely. I love that you asked that, because really, and I know you get this and I know everyone else gets this. Like, I'm on a big kick right now for brain health, because brains run the world. If we're not taking care of our brain, and if anyone wants a really great person to follow, Dr. Daniel Amen, he wholeheartedly cares about people. The work that this man does is just incredible and so inspiring. He cares. So much of our societal issues can be solved. So many people that are in jail, that ultimately, if you did a brain scan, you would find out that, oh, the reason why they did that is because they had a tumor on the part of their brain that makes them do stupid things. Like, obviously, wow, more than stupid things, criminal things. I could go on and on, but it's my job to be as clear in how I think, but my brain controls my whole body. And I've got a lot of work to do. I've got a team to run. I've got traveling I do for my business. I go on TV. I do all these things. I can't afford for me to be low energy, right? So I have to be mindful of releasing all these hormones that I need to release and chemicals to keep my brain happy so that I can show up high vibe. Of course, take care of my vessel, but I'm no good to anyone. And in fact, my business results and anyone's business results are directly reflective of how much vitality they have. So we have no choice but to take care of it. And I have a rule for self-care. So I don't know if you want to hear it or not.
I'd love to hear it. I love hearing
all this is a total game changer. So I don't typically do trades, but I agreed to do a trade with someone years ago. She was doing acupuncture. I do what I do. And she wanted to do it with me. And because that was a value to me and I was already going to be paying her for it, I said, okay. But, you know, I went against my better judgment. And I said, the only caveat I have is you cannot vomit your stuff on me, because that is an Achilles heel for me. I'm constantly paying people, massage therapists and stuff, and they'll be like, oh, well, do you mind if I ask you a question? I'm like, oh, here we go again. I just want to lie on the table and receive, right? Anyway, so I said, you know, I'm more than happy to do the trade. I don't need to. I can pay for your services. I'm happy to do it as long as you promise me that you're going to treat me like a paying client, because that's how I'm going to treat you. So when it's my time to receive, I really need you to make it about me. And I promise that when it's your turn to receive, I really need you to make it, or I'm really going to make it about you. Oh, yeah. Well, it didn't take long before she was just constantly telling me stuff. And if you've ever had acupuncture done, you know that you're pretty spacey most of the time. So when someone's yammering at you at full pace, it's like, ugh, it's jarring.
Yeah.
And I realized in that moment, oh, she's doing this with all of her clients because she's not taking care of herself. It can't even help but come out of her because she isn't valuing herself enough. She's not valuing her business enough. She's not valuing her clients enough to actually go and invest energy in having someone just make it about her. Because here's the thing about self-care, and this is a deal breaker. This is a right or downer.
Right.
We cannot be the source of other people's transformation and our own and expect to grow.
Ooh, you just dropped the mic there, Jennifer. Woo!
So here's my rule. Because as service-based people, we will always overgive. Nobody can accuse us of not caring, of not being of service. There is some power and control issues in also being the source of your own self-care, right? If you're always the source, you never get to receive. And if you want to receive more money, if you want to receive more clients, if you want to receive more opportunities, we have to train the receptivity muscle, which means that every week we have to carve out time to have someone else pour into us and truly just be able to receive, right? Bubble baths are nice. Yes, diffusing oils are nice. Yes, lighting a candle is nice and writing in a journal. And I want people to keep doing that. But my rule is that for every day that you pour into other people, you need to carve out 1 hour for yourself. So if you are coaching people, for example, 4 days a week, that means 4 hours you have to carve out to have someone else pour into you. Now you might think that's costly, but it's actually way more costly when you lose clients because they don't return, because you can't properly hold space for them, or your vibe is low. And from a sustainability perspective, if you want to grow your business, there are times in business where we just need more energy than other times.
Wow. One of my podcast clients that I produce for, and who's also, I'm part of her coaching group, she calls that self-source success. Because you're constantly pouring into other people, but you need to have that for yourself. Because without that self-source success or that self-care time, you can't pour that vitality into your business. It's a necessity for your business. That's super fascinating.
Totally.
Jennifer, tell me too, like you talked about this rule that you have, which is fantastic. I'm curious to know too, if you have a morning routine, what is your self-care start?
Oh yeah, I'm super anal. I'm very anal. Most success people will say there's like a 2 massage rule because you release certain brain chemicals, right? So I know I'm very woo, but people will always say, you sound so grounded. You sound so reasonable. Well, yeah, I still have to be in 3D, but I wake up, depending on the morning, I either wake up at 4 a.m. or I wake up at 5 a.m. If I have a personal training session at 6, I like to wake up at 4, which sounds like a lot of time, but it takes me about an hour to journal. So I do my morning pages. Morning pages are from Julia Cameron. So you just let the pen go and you can't take it off. So, oh, you've got morning pages?
I'm just on week 11 of The Artist's Way. So I know exactly what you're saying. Sorry, keep going.
Totally. It's a game changer. So what will happen is it's like a windshield wiper for your brain. So you can see out of a dirty windshield, right? You can still see, nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's nicer to see with a clean windshield. So what it does is it just wipes your brain of all of the random thoughts that you had no idea were taking up real estate in your brain. And it creates micro leaks in your ability to have clarity and focus and all kinds of stuff. So what'll happen is I go through the morning pages, and as I get an idea and I'm like, oh, I need to journal about that more, I circle it as I'm writing. So then in my second stage of journaling, which is usually, I think it takes about 30 minutes for me to do the morning pages.
Yeah.
So it's a commitment. I know people might be nodding going, oh, yeah, that's a lot. Well, trust me when I say it's been a huge game changer in my business. So then in the second part of my journal, I write a letter to money, or I write a letter to business. Because when I can take it outside of myself, then it's not personal. I can just look at it objectively. But it reveals things to me if I write to it as though it's a person, because it does have its own consciousness. So last week I went to the bank and I met with a financial advisor, and he blew my mind. He was telling me about all kinds of things. He's like, you know, not judging, just, you know, out of curiosity, why do you have this kind of money in this account? Why haven't you put it over here to make it work for you more? Why haven't you contributed more to this retirement thing? And I'm like, oh my God, like, thank you for being of service to me. It was so much fun. So that night I went home. I said, dear money, I had so much fun with you tonight. That was amazing. Let's activate the law of repetition around that. I want more of that. That was fun. That's how I like to play together. I love being in the energy of possibility for you. I love feeling uplifted by you. I love seeing what kind of cool things we can create together. But another day I might be like, dear money, what in the bleepity bleep? I keep asking you to show up for this project. I know you're there. Why are you taking so long? But as I keep writing to money, then it'll reveal itself. So what might reveal itself is like, you're there for me, but you're not really there, kind of like an emotionally unavailable dad.
Right.
So I'll have that reveal like, oh my God, I'm projecting my relationship of my dad onto you. I'm so sorry that I did that. I'm going to cancel and clear that. Here's the relationship I do want to have with you. So I'm sharing these examples simply for, you know, because I know people like to say, okay, but how do you do that? That's how right. I would do that. Same with business, right? So it's not, I don't do both every day, but I'll pick whatever one I feel I need to. So with business, same thing. Hey, dear business. Wow, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for sending me those amazing clients. I was ready to receive more people and you honored that. I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful for the life that you give me. I'm grateful for the skills you help me develop. I'm grateful for the way I get to, you know, share my message, whatever I'm going to say. So I do that for about an hour and then I do a bit of exercise. I always drink a lot of water because as energy workers, we burn through a lot of electrolytes and we're made mostly of water. So I really like to fill that up. And then I listen to some sort of inspirational video or training, or I read, but I feed my brain. Then I go for training, because to start your day releasing the kind of chemicals that get released with exercise, that sets you for the whole day. I have so much energy. People say, aren't you tired? No, I have a ton of energy doing this. And then I'm just way more efficient with my time. I'm just way more focused, right? Because my brain's working better. So that's just the morning routine. But yeah, it's pretty robust. But I look forward to it. It feels good.
Jennifer, I could talk to you for hours because I've still got so many questions on my post-it note, which I didn't get through on. And that's just part two of the questions that I asked you. So I'm going to have you back on the show. I hope you can make the time to do so. It's been a pleasure chatting to you and learning about, you know, different things about the Akashic Records. I'm curious to try them myself now, given how you've talked about how transformative they are. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your time. And I know this will be valuable to a lot of the Ginny Show listeners. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very grateful. The Ginny Show. Oh, how long it takes, all gone on.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.